Well, morning, everybody, and morning to those at home watching this. I don't know where I'm looking. Where am I looking, Pete? There and there. That one there. Morning to everybody at home. Thanks for having me again. For those who have asked this morning or via text, last time I was here, my wife was ready to give birth. She's given birth, and we've had a baby girl. £7.11. Her name is Zuri, and she's doing great, and Mom is doing great. I don't know why I'm looking there for. All is well. So thank you for your prayers and your text messages asking how things are. I wanted to just touch just briefly on Mark's gospel and just tease out a couple of things that I think are probably relevant for our time. Because if we're honest, conversations that I've been having, particularly in our parish, have been around what a rubbish year it's been since March. I mean, it may have been pre-March for some people, but what a rubbish year. And I was just talking to Pete at the back, actually saying there's some really good stuff that has come out of 2020, partly because of the pandemic, but the pandemic is not good news. So two national lockdowns. Isolation, loneliness, separation from loved ones, the flu is hitting us this autumn stroke winter, closure of schools initially, and there is potentially another school closure on the cards. Businesses struggling to survive, small independent businesses closing, a change of guard in the American presidency, mental health, anxiety, stress, all topping the list in the news for stress on the young and the elderly. Churches, I think I get this right, for the first time in history, shutting their doors, being closed for public worship. The list goes on and on and on. And you may be able to add to that your own stuff. And so I thought what we'd do is just tease out a few things from Mark by introducing my friends. Now, if you've seen this sermon I've done before, forgive me, I have just rewritten it. But I've used the same metaphor. So if I've done this before, forgive me. That goes for those online as well. So I don't know if we're able to control it. So we'll have the first slide. Fantastic. This is a participatory sermon, so I need some help from you guys. Who is that? It's easy. I did this the other week at a church. I was like, this is going to be tough because I've got three more to go, right? Bob Hope. Bob Hope is, as you'll probably know, the famous American, was actually born in England, but he's renowned as the famous American for making people laugh and bringing hope through his laughter, his films, his radio shows, particularly with the armed forces, and then later in his career, the TV. Especially popular, his comedy, when it was difficult, bleak times people were experiencing. And Bob used his humour to lighten the worries of those that came to see him. So for a moment, they would just suspend their concerns and their worries and forget it for a moment. But with Bob, although his comedy was great, it was temporary. It was only short-lived, and then after a while, you'd go back to normality. Now, hope, defined in the Oxford Dictionary, is a feeling of expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen. And there's hope in the story we heard Paul read this morning. An expectation that this Jesus, who everyone was talking about, and who he said he was, would do a particular thing. The one who could heal, who gives life, wasn't just temporary, but everlasting. What Jesus did was eternal. The men in the story had hope. Hope in Jesus. There's talk and there's these rumors about this Jesus who through his prayers and his physical touching can heal. And so this hope and this expectation, this desire to see the man, to hear him speak, was enough to bring a paralytic man to his presence. Now that would be a non-starter for us. You can't have hope without doing something about it. Something has to spark that fire. But they carried this paralytic man to him, at first failing to get into the house. If you read Tom Wright's commentaries, they suggest that this was actually Jesus' house. If it was your house and I was kicking in the tiles in your roof to get in, I'm not sure you'd be pleased. But there's a commentary about how Jesus would have felt about that, but actually how he welcomed it. They created this hole, they lowered the man down to Jesus, and there's this real practical hope. There's an action required on our behalf. Martin Luther King said, take the first step in faith. You don't have to see the whole staircase. Just take the first step. I love that. Just all you have to do is one step in front of the other. So, first point, Bob Hope. What is the hope that we're sharing? Is it doom and gloom and bleak and, oh, this is the worst year ever and I don't serve an eternal God and my eyes are not fixed on Jesus? Is it life-giving? Is it building people up? Or is it doom and gloom? Because the Christians have an eternal hope. We might be living here on earth now, but our eternal hope is in his presence. And Christians were called to live in that hope and that assurance that comes from God. As Isaiah reminds us, he says, and nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. We are to be salt and light in our communities. Not, oh, here we go again. It's another lockdown. There's no hope. There's nothing we can do. Let me introduce you to the second person. Who's this? Oh, there was a little bit of hesitation, though. I like it. I thought you'd get it. Does anyone remember this guy?
Yep.
Bob Holness. You see what I'm doing with the words here? You'll see the play on words, hopefully. So let me introduce you to my second friend, Bob Holness. The word wholeness is key here. So he was the guy that ran Blockbusters. I think it was 5 o'clock or 5:30 every evening. And famous for saying, receiving the words, I'll have a pee, Bob. And all that sort of stuff. It's not about being materially or physically whole, but wholeness in mind, body, and soul. Now, the word heart appears in the Bible over 1,000 times. And most often, it's this comprehensive metaphor for self. It covers much more than does the metaphorical meaning of heart in the English contemporary version. So in our usage, the heart is most commonly associated with love, like Valentine's Day, and courage, as in a brave heart. Where's the other one? Grief, as in a broken heart. But in the Bible, heart includes these and much more. It's a metaphor for the inner self as whole. The heart's an image for the self at this deeper level, this deeper than our perception, our intellect, our emotion, as the spiritual center of the total self. It affects all of these, our sight, our thought, our feelings, and our will. And so when you come to know Christ in an authentic relationship, everything changes. It's not just your purse strings, everything changes. And so I wonder, have you experienced the unending love of Christ? Because when you do, people will gasp at you. When they walk by and go, oh, blimey, it's such a difficult year. They go, but there's something about that person that I want. That person has something that I would like. So perhaps you need to rekindle it. Wholeness is about being complete. Feeling complete in your health, robust or complete, lacking nothing. And the biblical wholeness, this well-being in spirit, mind, and body. Verse 5 says that, the Bible says in verse 5, Jesus saw their faith, their hope in him. And he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. You have been made whole again. Despite all the surrounding circumstances, the man had a new life. was restored, was forgiven, this new start, this clean slate. Notice Jesus didn't say to him, here you go, have a nice new mat, that will help. It was the complete ratification of his life. Everything changed. There's so much more that verse 5 says. The man's sins were forgiven. He was bodily restored and then sent on his way home. He was whole again, spiritually, physically, and mentally, but only after encountering Jesus. So Jesus gives us a wholeness that nothing can separate us from. Thessalonians 5 reminds us that God himself, the God of peace, will sanctify you through and through. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. And finally, the third picture, please. My lovely play on words. Who's this? I want the character he's playing, not the actor's name. Thank you. You guys are really good this morning. Sherlock Holmes. Jesus points to such a home where he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And there's that, I think it's a song or a phrase that says, home, sweet home. You know, you put it on your wall. Sweet Home Alabama, the song goes, or something like that. My little kids sing that. I have no idea where they get it from. But after a long day or a couple of weeks away, or in Paul's case, you can't go away at the moment, but if you've been away for a couple of weeks, we suddenly long for that home. When you recognize your own home, the love, the memories, the place where we can be ourselves. Home is a place where we belong. No matter what's going on, it's our home. We belong there. And in verse 11, Jesus says to the paralytic, rise, take up your mat, and go home. Now we see this gift of home best depicted, I think, in the story of the prodigal son. So if you're not familiar with it, it goes like this. So despite the son going off and taking his share of the household wealth, he squanders it by reckless living, thinking he knows better. But there was always a place at home for him. And when he returned after wasting his money, time and effort, trying to find this alternative life, and when he came to his senses and returned home, instead of a right jolly telling off, what did his father do? The Bible tells us his father saw him from a long way off and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, kissed him, and then said to his servants, bring me the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattest calf and prepare it. Let's have a feast, for this son of mine was once dead, but now is alive again. He was lost, but now is found. So let's celebrate, because we have a home in Christ. Home is where we shall dine with Christ, and the eternal party begins. Not Bob Hope's just temporary laughter, but eternity. But while we wait, we are to create this here and now. This loving, hospitable home that reflects Christ. Speech and conversation that reflects Christ. Character that reflects Christ. So in summary, if you need hope today, if this year has been really difficult, and I don't gloss over it, it has. My father is currently in hospital with COVID, and we are not sure he's going to come out. It's hard. Believe me, it's hard. But if you need hope, then look no further than Jesus. Lift up your eyes to him, because his promises are never broken. I put out on our social media a little picture that God isn't on lockdown. He never has and never will be on lockdown. He's there, tangible, approachable. I think Isaiah 56 verse 5 says, turn to the Lord and pray while he can be found. If you are spiritually in need of a pick-me-up, this wholeness, then seek the Lord who refreshes without fail, restores people like David to a position of king, restores the paralytic from being unable to walk to now go home and take his mat and have his sins forgiven. Jesus restores with permanency, not temporary cheap fixings. And if you've distanced yourself from Jesus, or if you don't personally know him yet, and you need a fresh encounter, then the image of the prodigal son being welcomed back with open arms to an embrace that overlooks everything with a love that covers all. Hope, wholeness, and home is my encouragement for you this morning. But only in Jesus are all three found and intertwined with each other. Jesus is the hope nothing else can equal. We are made whole through our relationships with him in this life and the next. Our home here is temporary, but our real home is in the presence of the living God. And through these difficult times, it's good to be reminded of such truths. So friends, as Christians, we carry that hope. Amen.